The answer to your question about my unlock moment begins when I answered the phone and heard my daughter Marjorie's first word and immediately knew something was wrong. Marjorie was in her 20s then, and she began our conversation with the word mommy.
My name's Dr. Gary Crotaz, and I'm a coach, podcaster, and award-winning author of The Idea Mindset, a book about how to figure out what you want and how to get it. The unlock moment is that flash of remarkable clarity when you suddenly know the right path ahead. When I'm in conversation with my coaching clients, these are the breakthroughs that are so profound that they remember vividly where they were, who they were with, what they were thinking when their unlock moment happened. In this podcast, I'll be meeting and learning about people who have accomplished great things or brought about significant change in their life, and you'll be meeting them with me. We'll be finding out what inspired them, how they got through the hard times, and what they learned along the way that they can share with you. Thank you for joining me on this podcast to hear all about another Unlock Moment. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to another episode of the Unlock Moment podcast. And today, we have another expert in getting unlocked. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how this conversation goes. Madeline Blair is all about helping you navigate life's twists and turns with resilience and grace. She's the host of Unlocked on YouTube, E360 TV, and LinkedIn, where she gives out tips for embracing the unexpected. She's an executive coach, a former Columbia University faculty member, a best-selling author, a blogger, and a puzzle enthusiast. Resilience isn't just a buzzword to her. It's been her guiding light through some tough stuff, from facing her child's brain tumor to steering through major organizational shakeups. Resilience isn't just about bouncing back. It's about that gutsy decision to leap forward even when the ground feels shaky. It's tapping into the resilient leader that each of us has within us. Madeline's book, Unlocked, Discover How to Embrace the Unexpected, came out in 2019 and explores the practices that build the capabilities of resilient people. I can't wait to hear more. Let's get unlocked. Madeline Blair, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to the Unlock Moment.
Gary, thank you so much. I'm so excited about today because someone else has used that wonderful word, unlock.
I know. It's something that I kind of landed on. I don't know. People were talking to me about these breakthrough moments, and I thought It felt like something was unlocked within them. Yeah. And so I was sitting there and I thought, I'm going to call it an unlock moment, but not just any unlock, but like the big ones, the ones that you remember, you know, decades on. And I have a funny feeling that you have one in there that you're going to tell us about today. So if we wanted to truly understand the person you are today, where would we need to start in your story?
Well, I think it really begins with the story that you alluded to about my daughter's brain tumor. Because it's one of two unlock moments in my life. And hopefully we'll have time for both of them.
Yeah.
The answer to your question about my unlock moment begins when I answered the phone and heard my daughter Marjorie's first word and immediately knew something was wrong. Marjorie was in her 20s then, and she began our conversation with the word mommy. Now, as a parent, your children are always children to you. And they sometimes push against that, which actually is what they're supposed to do. But that word mommy said to me that even in her 20s, she needed not just her mother, she needed her mommy. That's how we say it here in the US, by the way. I think probably in England, you might say mummy. And mom, I've heard that. Anyway.
Yeah.
But here it's mommy. As I heard that, I caught my breath because I listened to the rest of the sentence carefully. Mommy, she says, I have a brain tumor. Now, It is devastating when you hear that your child is in trouble and you can do nothing about it. At that moment, my world went dark. I mean, it was as if somebody had shut off all the lights. All I could do was listen to her as she explained to me that she was going to be operated on, and that it would be a difficult operation, that she could die on the operating table. But she said, oh, no, it's okay. I'll die anyway if they don't operate. Well, that's sort of a sort of way to relieve the stress. Anyway, I tried to hold back my tears because I didn't want her to lose it, because I knew she had to stay strong. So when we finished our conversation and I hung up the phone, that's when I broke down completely. You know, my child, my only child, was in danger. And there was no question, the only thing I could do was to call my mother, because I needed support as well. So as the days went by and we prepared for the surgery, I also called upon my own prayer tradition. It was the only thing that gave me any hope. It was almost as if there was a little light in the right-hand side of this black, dark universe. And I kept focusing on that little light and pleading that all would be well. So when we got to the hospital, the surgical team was fantastic. I mean, they introduced themselves and what each individual person was going to do. It gave us a sense of peace, knowing that all the T's had been crossed and the I's had been dotted. My daughter was admitted, and the next morning, she was being prepared for surgery. I was with her in the pre-op room, I think they call it. And I said to myself, Madeline, you must give her strength, even if you don't feel it. Just make that decision and give her strength. That's what mothers do. And I remember leaning down to her and saying quietly in her ear, the only words that made sense to me to recognize the situation without breaking down. I said, this is so exciting. And at that moment, the nurse came in and wheeled my daughter out the room. 17 hours later, the doctors came out and they said, Dr. Blair, your daughter came through. Well, that was enormous. And then they said, but she lost the facial motor nerve to the right side of her face. That meant that she would never again have that big smile that filled her face with such beauty. So once again, I decided to be strong for her as she dealt with her unexpected event. 10 years later, I was doing research on another project, on another book, and I saw within the data something that I had not asked about. I was not thinking of when I designed the research, but there it was. I mean, there were individuals that I interviewed who were unbelievably resilient. In every case, when things went terribly tough, they had made a decision. They faced what had happened, and they made a decision that took them to the next step. Now, there were a lot of things that I saw, but as I wrote the book that I eventually wrote called Unlocked, Discover How to Embrace the Unexpected, I found all kinds of characteristics of these highly resilient individuals, which talk about that. But the most exciting was the confirmation of the decision. When I read Viktor Frankl's words, between stimulus and response, there is a space, and in that space lies our power to choose our response. So once I understood that resilience lies within that space of decision, I knew that all of my work would then focus on helping people prepare for that space, that moment, that time, that space that Viktor Frankl says the decision has to happen. Resilience lies in that space, and it is a decision. That's when I decided to write the book Unlocked, which became a bestseller international. This story spans 10 years, but it all began at the moment when I heard the word mommy.
That's an incredible story. An unbelievable story. I'm sure many listeners are like me, thinking you can sympathize, but you can't be where you were. Many things strike me, but two things in particular struck me. One is that phrase in the pre-op room when you said, this is so exciting. You said, I said a phrase that made sense to me at that time. And in my head, I was imagining a little list of things that I thought you might say next. And not on that list was the phrase, this is so exciting. So tell me more about what that meant to you in that moment and why that was what you said.
Well, you know, when we are anxious about something, our bodies react in an identical way from the times that we are excited about something. And so when I was trying to say something to her that would make sense, that's what came to mind, because it reflected exactly how I felt and probably how she felt, but threw it into a positive light. It's exciting. I don't know if I could do it again, but I did it.
I think it's extraordinary. And the thing that comes to mind, I'm working with two or three people at the moment who are going through their own cancer journeys, actually. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's come up in conversation is this idea that, and I know this from my past as I trained as a doctor, but I also worked in a cancer hospital before I ever went to medical school, that sometimes the people who are going through cancer are a bit more resilient than some of the people around them, because the person who is going through it has to deal with it, is focused on what they need to do. And everybody else is feeling a little bit helpless because there actually often isn't so much that they can do. And one of the most powerful things that people around somebody who's suffering in cancer can do is to be normal, actually, and not be inauthentically positive, but keep life being normal. Did you feel that when you were in that role as her mom?
Good question. I think I did, because what I said, this is so exciting, was consistent with who I am. I find new things exciting. Right. And this was really new. So in that sense, it was authentic as I spoke it to her. Mm.
And had you had any inkling before she phoned you that first day that anything was wrong?
Absolutely not.
That was literally the first time you knew anything was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a long time for the doctors to figure it out.
Yeah.
The interesting thing was, it was a surgery that not too many years before would not have been possible, but the technology now allowed me to do it. So.
And how many years ago was this?
Oh, gosh, 20.
The other thing that really struck me when you were talking was about this idea of the decision, that resilience is in the decision.
Yeah.
And you know that I'm a bit obsessed with moments. And one of the things that I found very powerful in exploring people's unlock moments is really honing in on the individual specific moments when you knew a thing that you didn't know before. And I think that aligns with this idea of decision. In that story for you, from that first phone call to being in pre-op, what was the moment when you knew something that plays to this point of resilience and the decision? Where was that decision for you?
Very early on. I think it probably was part of the conversation with my mother.
Right.
That we discussed that, not in those words, but she understood the gravity. I won't tell the story of my mother and why she does, but she did. And so I took her support very seriously. And that's when I realized that I just had to be strong. That was the decision. No matter how it felt to me, I had to be the strong one. Not because I wanted to overwhelm my daughter with my strength, but to simply not put on her the need to be strong for me. I wanted her to just feel that she could deal with her own stuff for herself.
An idea that I've seen or felt or sometimes talked about in some of the unlock moment conversations, but not all of them, is the idea that for some people in the middle of these unlock moments, there's a sense of what I call alone with others. And what I mean by alone with others is you feel alone. You feel there are people around you who are with you, who support you, who care for you, or who are, you know, with you. But at the same time, there's a decision for only you to make. And that aloneness is actually often quite a positive aloneness. And the first person who made me think that's the phrase, alone with others, was actually a young breast cancer patient called Oa Hackett, who recorded on the podcast, a year or so ago. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 28. And she was talking about sitting in the doctor's office for the first chemotherapy planning meeting with, I think, her husband on one side and her mother on the other side and the doctor in front of her. And she said, I felt so alone. And she said, actually, the thing I knew that I didn't know before in that moment, and that was the unlock moment, was that I have the strength to get through this.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether I hear the same with you, that sense, not only for your daughter, but actually for you. Did you feel alone with others? Does that make sense to you?
And I do relate to that. Mm. The only exception, I would say, is that when I was discussing it with my mother, because my mother and I were very, very close.
Yeah.
And I knew that she was right there, right there with me. That's the only time there was no sense of loneliness.
Yeah.
But you're right. When you have to make that decision, it is a lonely thing. And I think we make those kinds of decisions every day. They don't have to be the moment, the unlock moment. They can be ordinary ones. But you have to be aware of it.
And I think this is so powerful because there are so many people who do the self-help thing where they go, I think that if I write a recipe for your day or a recipe for your life and say you're going to become a millionaire if you follow my routine, you know, I can become the new Tony Robbins or something. And it's completely inauthentic because it doesn't relate to them at all. Yeah. They've just, you know, they're good at marketing. I love talking to and spending time with people who are doing something today that's really powerful. And you're doing this work around helping people build resilience. And it's deeply and intensely personal for you. And I think this story brings it to life. And often when I talk about unlock moments, it's this idea of knowing that story, and sometimes other people knowing something of that story, helps connect you with that very powerful sense of exactly why you do what you do today. And in your case, it requires no explanation at all, that it's completely obvious why resilience is such an important thing and something mm-hmm. that you are, you know, in many ways quite uniquely placed to talk about and help people with.
Yeah.
When was the time when you started to think, I want to go on a journey of helping other people to become resilient?
First of all, that's very much the kind of person I am. I like to be with people. I like to create pleasant things for them. I mean, it doesn't matter whether I'm playing a game with them or I'm cooking a dinner for them. So that's part of my nature. But your question is a deeper one. And it kind of reminds me actually of my second moment. You see, I grew up on a farm. And of all the siblings, I was the one who loved to work in the dirt, in the garden. I love to garden. I love flowers. I love the earth that gives life to the plants. I love all creatures and creation that works together so that everything thrives. But there is an unlock moment in that. It was kind of a sunny day, and I was out weeding in one of my little gardens around our home. Now, if you're a gardener, you know that weeding is essential. And it can be very satisfying, but it's not a pleasant task. And it has to be done again and again. And if you're creating a lush environment for your plants, you know, the weeds take advantage of it. So here I am out there weeding. And I just somehow paused for a moment to admire these beautiful flowers. They were really doing well, lots of color. And I thought, here I am doing this drudgery task. And yet I'm having great satisfaction from it because I can see the impact of what I'm doing. I sat back and I said to myself, if I spent eternity weeding gardens so that flowers could bloom and trees could grow, I think I would be content even for eternity. And as I said that to myself in that moment, it was like a little voice in my head said, Madeline, you are a gardener. And I realized that what I had been doing and would continue to do and do to this very day is garden. I create environments in which things can thrive. Those things may be people, they may be teams, they may be organizations. My job is to create the environment so that whatever is there can thrive. Now, that first unlock moment I told you about stimulated a book. And I wrote the book, Unlocked, and I began to speak on it. But the second one, the second unlock moment, when it truly dawned on me that I was to garden wherever I was, meant I was to always be creating healthy environments. I became a host of my own show called Unlocked, first on radio, now on television. I write and blog on what it takes to be resilient, and I coach. And I think of all of my work, whether it's hosting or writing or coaching, it all comes from my heart. In my case, that took two unlock moments to illuminate for me that, yes, resilience is a decision. But second, we are all resilient leaders. And you mentioned that at the beginning. I really see a resilient kernel in everybody, almost like a seed. And thirdly, that we all need an environment of support. And, you know, when you garden in nature, you see the plants grow exuberantly. You see tomatoes red and juicy and sweet. But when you work with individuals, what you see is the light in their eyes turn on. And it's one of the most satisfying things in my life.
I love the way you tell these stories. And I think one of the most powerful things that I hope this podcast does is allow people to listen to somebody telling a story or saying something that is deeply personal and wholly authentic for them. I'm working with people at the moment around helping them to understand that they are unique, understand that they are capable, and understand that they have agency, they have the power and the control to shape their future. And one of the things that you're doing on that journey is helping people to really think about what is my identity. And
that's number one.
Right. And hearing that thing you said, the voice in your head said, Madeline, you are a gardener. And then the way you talked about what you do, who it's with, the way it happens, is not coaching like other people's coaching. It's not teamwork like other people's teamwork. It's Madeline the gardener. And it's such a powerful thing to tune into that. And in a society where we are conditioned to be thinking that we're supposed to be like everybody else or like the successful people, like the person more senior or more advanced from us who inspires us, in reality, it often comes down to understanding your unique identity. And you might not know anybody else who would describe themselves in that same way. There's a coach who came on the podcast some time ago, an amazing guy called Skip Bowman, and his first career was as a professional scuba diver. And now he does a lot of work in psychological safety. And the whole theme of his work is about diving under the surface and what he understood from buddying up with another diver, and you are reliant on each other for your safety. And you can hear in him that's his origin, that's his foundation of the way he thinks. And then recently I had Dr. Oleg Konovalov come on the podcast, whose first career was as an Arctic salmon fisherman. And he talked about the silence and the solitude that comes from salmon fishing in the Arctic. And he said, and I sat on a hill overlooking the water, and I thought, who am I? What am I here to do? And he became an expert in helping people think about their vision. And I just think that, you know, and you're doing the same thing with as much power in that message of you are a gardener. Tell me, what does that mean for the experience of working with you or learning from you? What are the people that you come into contact with? What do they take from time with you as a gardener?
I have to comment that when you garden plants, you can do nothing that will change that plant. Nothing. All you can do is create the right environment for it to be what it was meant to be. And I really see people that way. There is an essence in us that we are born with. And if I can nurture that, so that comes forward. Oh my goodness, can you imagine the world if everyone knew that they were working and living from that essence? Because in those places, you are set up to succeed in whatever that is. I mean, it has to be that way. So I want to go back also to your comment about the kind of phony advice. When I work with people, I really do begin with, let's get for you to know who you are. And I generally do it through story. I ask them to write their own stories because it's like putting a mirror up in front of their face and they can begin to see what actually formed them. But again, it's not me saying this is what you have to do. It's these are ways in which you can accomplish that. The other characteristic of resilient people is that they are very curious. In fact, they are insatiably curious. And so I suggest ways in which they can pique their curiosity. I'll never forget, I told one person, I said, well, you know, I had never gone into a cigar store. And I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of curious about that. And I went in. I mean, as a woman, you don't buy cigars, right? I went in and I told the man, I said, I've never been in a cigar store before. I said, this is really cool. And he was delighted. You know, and he took me into the thermidor, so we went to the room. So, you know, you can open those things up and discover all kinds of things. So you kind of nurture your curiosity. And of course, the third thing with resilience is that you've got to have social support. I mean, the first person I went to was my mother. Well, actually, probably after my husband, but my mother was the one who was going to give me that really deep, intense support that I needed at that time. But it all comes from the individual knowing, and I loved your word, agency. Oh, goodness. When I worked with students, I would always say, you are the agents of your learning. You have to do it. So I'll stop there.
Amazing. For the people who are listening to this conversation, who are leaders in work or leaders in life, what's one thing you'd really like them to take away from this conversation and hearing what you've had to say?
That resilience was born in them. And that when they are up against something that is unexpected, to know that that is still there. Now, if they've done some work beforehand to discover who they are, then that makes it easier. If they've done some work to have learned a lot of things, that makes it easier. If they've done the work to build a support system around them, that makes it easier. But in the end, I want them to know they have that in them.
That's so powerful. Madeline, how can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
They can go to my website, madelineblair.com. And the only tricky thing is that my name is spelled MadelineBlair. Probably in England, that won't be as much of a problem.
Other countries. They're mainly Madelines with a Y, yes. Yeah.
That's right. but there's so many ways to spell Madeline. Go to my website. I would say go to LinkedIn is another place if you're on LinkedIn. Go to my YouTube channel, which is also called Madeline Blair. And there you can see all my shows. And you can even visit my publication called Mental Espresso, where I take clips from my guests. And we create a little publication that says, this is the question Madeline asked. This is the response. And it's always less than a minute. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I love the Mental Espresso. I think it's a really great little format. The unlock moment is that flash of remarkable clarity when you suddenly know the right path ahead. For coach and author Madeline Blair, it was navigating a crisis in her child's life that taught her she needed to walk her own talk and move forward, regardless of the outcome. Check out her book, Unlocked, Discover How to Embrace the Unexpected and Explore More About How to Become Resilient. Madeline, it's been such a great pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for telling your story and joining me today on The Unlock Moment.
Gary, it has been my pleasure. Thank you.
This has been The Unlock Moment, a podcast with me, Dr. Gary Crotez. Thank you for listening in. You can find out more about how to figure out what you want and how to get it in my book, The Idea Mindset. Find me on Instagram at Dr. Gary Crotez and subscribe to this podcast to get notified about future episodes. Most listeners to this podcast on Apple and Spotify haven't yet hit the follow button. If there's one thing you can do right now to help me out, then please click the follow button. The more followers I have, the better guests I can attract for you to learn from. Thanks again for listening, and join me again soon here on The Unlock Moment.